Yeah, live from the studio. This is podcast 574. We're up to 574. This week's radio show, amidst a blizzard of gargantuan proportions. So here we go. I did this podcast, this show, whatever you want to call it, at last night in the middle of the night. And I got up at like 2 o'clock this afternoon. There's cleaning going on here in the broadcast bunker. And while that is going on, we're doing the radio show podcast. So here is segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show in podcast 573. Here we go. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. And just before Thanksgiving, as winter starts to filter into the upper Midwest, it's time for a fireside chat. So I'm sitting here by the fire in the studio doing the show. And depending on when you hear this show on this weekend, the weekend just before Thanksgiving, there may be snow on the ground. There were blizzard warnings out for Minneapolis and St. Paul of some kind. Now they're saying that's going to be the northern part of the state. And it seems like every year when it gets to the point where we start to have snow. So if you're not hearing this show in the upper Midwest, if you're not from Wisconsin or Minnesota or Michigan, you know that you don't know, but if you're from this area, you know that usually the weather can be pretty fine up until Thanksgiving. And I don't know how many Thanksgivings I have had. We've had sunny weather. It's been fairly warm, mid-50s to lower 60s. And I've been standing out in a field watching my brother-in-law combine or something like that and thinking, wow, it's just wonderful, this weather. And then usually right after Thanksgiving, it starts sleeting and snowing, and it doesn't take very long. This year, it seems like it's a little bit before Thanksgiving. But every year, without fail, they always make the first snow sound like an apocalypse. And I don't know whether this year's first snow is going to be an apocalypse or just simply in like a lamb, right? Just a nice dusting of snow, or maybe some sleet or cooler temperatures, but we're getting there. Winter is setting in. And appropriate that it's starting to set in and get that kind of cozy feeling right before, the Christmas season, right after election 2016. Now, for people who listen to talk radio, generally the content is more directed towards politics. So before the show, I did a little quick search, among other things. One of the things I love to look at is Google Trends. Just do a search for Google Trends, and then you can find all kinds of interesting things out about what people are searching on Google if you want to see what's actually going on in the world. So post-election, it's always interesting to me to watch sports teams and Hollywood people and searches for more prosaic pursuits start to increase and overtake politics. And that's kind of where we are. But in the political world, in the world where people are concerned pretty much with politics, there is a firestorm of discussion about who Donald Trump's going to nominate for this cabinet post and what person's reaction to this. And the media is not getting access to Trump, and they're hanging out at Trump Tower. And is he going to appoint his son-in-law to this, that, or the other thing? And all of this mass speculation about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and what goes on in media coverage of politics. So if you're a political junkie, you're just all up in arms about these things. But yet there is a world out there of people who have basically turned from the whole thing. They voted and they went back on with their life, and they're pursuing the things that they're interested in, whether it's sports teams, or which I don't follow, so I couldn't even begin to tell you what these searches for sports teams mean, or who is the really hot model who has a very large bust who is dancing naked about some, and there's a whole huge, I mean, it's one of the most heavily searched thing in the last 24 hours, and you click on it, and you get this video of the back end of this woman dancing topless, and you don't get to see anything, and that's heavily searched, or whatever the latest scandal is. It's just so interesting how the political crowd remains completely aroused by all the things going on in politics, and for the most part, people in this country have decided they got their little I voted sticker and they've gone on with their lives. And I thought it'd be great just to do a radio show just without really any notes, there's been a lot of shows where it's been closely packed information, whether it's the show I did on the polls and the final results about the polls. And I did a podcast this week about change, which we'll talk about in this show, because I think it's proving to be a little bit more difficult for some people to accept change of any kind, based on what happened in the election, than perhaps we thought. But at the same time, there's a whole bunch of people that just don't care. They're just going on with their lives after they voted or didn't vote. And what's happening is, and I did a podcast about this week as well, what we had in this election is a massive, giant failure of the media in general. And I don't want to go on and on about that, but I want to do talk about that a little bit in this show, because we have a situation where the outcome of the election was apparently a massive surprise to a number of people in this country. I can understand people from a political perspective. I can understand if you supported Democratic candidates, if you're, you know, a politically involved person and you're a Democrat, I can understand the surprise because, you know, political partisanship being what it is, people get excited about their candidate and they really want that candidate to win. They get excited about it. And when they win or lose, you get a reaction. But I think the real surprise was people who work in the media outlets, and the media in general as an institution in this country. I mean, it's really not an institution. It's kind of a conglomeration of radio stations and television stations and cable news outlets and websites and commentators and pundits and so on. But I think almost to a man, they were shocked and surprised at the outcome of this election. So I'm going to talk a little bit in this show about some polling, because the polling indicates, I don't want to go on and on about the polling. I just want to say that the expectations were based on things that could be conclusions that could be drawn from polls that you simply can't draw, if you've been listening to the podcast and if you've been listening to this radio show, you know that I caution people again and again and again. When I did the state by state roundups and everything else, I caution people to understand you can't make certain predictions about the future, and you can't make certain conclusions from polls that simply are not designed to predict the future. So I did a podcast about that, and I did a podcast about changes. But as I sit here in front of the fire, one of the things that I'm thinking, and the thing that I think is so important to point out, is that there's a large majority of people in this country who politics is just peripheral for. It's something that they pay attention to when there's a lot of news coverage of it, but when it's over but the shouting, in other words, when the election is over and, you know, a conclusion is reached, they kind of move on to other things. And in some ways, I think that's good. Now, having said that, there is also a whole bunch of articles and commentary and statements from people in the news media, you know, and political analysts that are talking about how the Electoral College could suddenly throw in a play from the sidelines and could potentially choose someone else to be president. And I want to talk about that in this show a little bit, because what we're dealing with is a situation where, with nothing else to say, and as part of their shock, our news media is now continuing to tell us what is going to happen and what that means, when they have no idea what is going to happen. So we're going to talk a little bit about expectations, reactions, and a few little watchwords going forward in the future. I'm not going to predict the future, but a few little watchwords or, you know, things to look out for going forward in this particular installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So, coming up, We're going to talk a little bit about some of the final polls and what they showed without getting into a complex state-by-state thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about what kinds of conclusions you can draw from the existing voter data, because more will be coming out as we go forward. Because everybody's telling everybody what happened and why. So we're going to talk about that in the next segment. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Live from the broadcast bunker amidst the blizzard of the century, and I'm being sarcastic. I'm getting calls from my friends saying, you know, what's going on? I hear you having a blizzard. No, we're not having a blizzard in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're just having cooler temperatures and some blown, snow flurries. That's pretty much it. But this was why it was a good suggestion to have people get their heating checked by Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul before the cold weather sets in. But what I'm talking about is what always happens after Christmas, which is the deep freeze. And that's when that heating system has to work. So you still got time to call Ryan and have them check your plumbing and heating for winter. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. What does it mean when we say quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business? Well, there's a difference between price and quality. Some people shop price, some people shop quality, and when it comes to plumbing and heating and air conditioning, price is important, and certainly Ryan competes on price, but quality is really, really important, because a lot of times you get a plumber that comes in and does something super cheap, and then guess what? You have to call somebody like Ryan to come in and make sure it is fixed right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, again, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems in St. Paul, 651-224-4777. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Get your heating checked before the cold sets in St. Paul. Once again, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. In the winter, your furnace and water heater are working overtime. You might want to check to make sure they're running right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Okay, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, you visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Welcome back. We are Fireside at the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So in the wake of the election, most people have gone back to their lives. Now, I'm going to qualify this a little bit, because what I mean is that aside from the people who are super involved in politics, whether you're a delegate or some sort of committee chair, or you're supporting a candidate, you work for a candidate, you hang on every word that's spoken on CNN and Fox News, you watch this stuff day in and day out on television, then you're not. You're still trapped in the Roach Motel called political coverage and talk radio and everything else. But most people have gone back to their lives. Most people have gone back to their jobs. Most people have gone back to their kids. Most people have gone back to their lives before they were diverted by endless coverage of election 2016, starting from the time of the primary. And so they are grateful for a merciful God that has ended the 24-hour wall-to-wall coverage on most cable channels of election 2016. But for the political people, it has been replaced with an endless amount of blather about what happened, who put Trump, quote-unquote, in the White House. And there's a few issues that I want to address, a few issues I want to talk about related to this. And I'm going to start with what the polls showed and the predictions that were made and why we had a general media failure. Now, I talked about this in the last show, but I feel it's important to make this point again. I'm going to make it very, very quickly. The people on television, the people who write commentary, the people who are supposedly so knowledgeable about politics are not pollsters. They're not market research specialists. They are not survey research specialists. They are not political scientists. Many of them are ex-operatives in some way, shape, or form. And yeah, they do know a lot about politics, or they reported on politics for a number of years, or they are flat-out partisans because they're an opinion maker or they're an opinionator. Let's just call them that. And they may not have the kind of expertise that you need to have with survey research to be able to fully understand what these polls said, say, and what they mean. And to make a long story short, the polls, and I re-examined results, and I'm not going to do it in this show. If you want to hear it, just go to the BobDavisPodcast.com, and there's two or three podcasts from the state-by-state totals going back to last summer all the way up to election. I did them like once a quarter, so you can follow how the polling changed and how conclusions changed. But as I said in a recent podcast, and I may have actually said it on this radio show, you can't predict the future with polls. They're not. It's not a tarot card. It is. You're not a psychic. Research, especially survey research, is designed to measure people's attitudes and their behavior. And the analysis part is measuring the difference between the two. You can't average and aggregate them. I told people that 100 times and they would not listen. And this is why, again, 538 has egg all over their face, because you can't aggregate polls done by different pollsters, add them all up, divide them by 100, and attach some sort of index or quote unquote chance of winning. Because as I've said 100 times, elections are made or lost based on who actually shows up to vote. And that's the key to the whole thing. Democrats have understood this for years. Apparently, this cycle, they didn't quite get that message, that it's all about who shows up at the polls. All right, that's the first thing. So polling cannot necessarily predict the future. But even so, a post-election analysis by yours truly of the polls suggests that in most cases, particularly in the battleground states like Ohio and Florida and North Carolina in particular, and Pennsylvania, the polls were fairly close and within the margin of error. Now, the polls in Pennsylvania showed that Hillary Clinton would probably win it, and the history with Democrats in the state were that they were ahead by sometimes double digits or a couple of digits, you know, 3, 4, or 5 points for the last two election cycles. So it's easy to understand why people might have thought that Hillary Clinton would win Pennsylvania. In fact, in my coverage of election 2016, the night that of the election, I was waiting for Michigan because I was of the view that Michigan was going to put Trump over, because Michigan was close enough that it could have gone for Trump without making any calls. Well, it turned out it was Pennsylvania, which was kind of a big surprise. But here's the thing about all of it, and I don't mean to go on and on. The polls did not predict a Clinton or Trump win. The polls predicted a tie. They were statistically tied. So really, anybody could have won. Here's what happened. And Sean Trendy wrote an article recently saying this after I said it. I have to say this. I said it 2 weeks ago, and he's now written an article about it. You cannot make predictions based on polling. And what happened with the media is they decided that between a combination of the national popularity poll, which you cannot use because this is an electoral battle, which I'm going to talk about in the next segment. A national popularity poll is not what you want to look at. The national preference polls for who should be the president, Hillary Clinton was leading. And she did win the popular vote so far, right? So that was accurate as well. But you have to look at the state-by-state polls, and they don't make predictions about who's going to win. So what happened was the media decided to tell you that Hillary Clinton would win the national election because it sure seemed like that. But they didn't have any basis for making that judgment. And if you listen to me and probably some others, then I would have told you, as I did, that the polls were too close to call. So now we have the same situation with the media's penchant for predicting the future. We have a situation now where the media in general is telling everyone what kind of presidency Trump is going to have, who's going to be in the cabinet, whether or not they're going to be confirmed, you know, how this is going to happen, how that is going to happen, how this, you know, happened. And in addition to that, This is right after they spent a week telling everybody why Trump won, without really knowing, other than based on some shoddy exit polls. And exit polls are notoriously incorrect when you actually look at the voter data. It's the exit polls that say that women put Trump in the White House. Well, we really don't know that yet because votes are confidential. That's the first thing. The second thing is that based on all that, we're telling you what kind of country America is, and we're telling you what you're supposed to believe about the election and how this is true and that's true based on some ideas about what might have happened in a place. And it's much more complicated than that. And I'm running out of time in this segment, but the thing that I want to point out is that it will take a number of years for political scientists to go through all of the voting data and go through the process of comparing things and figuring out what exactly happened in this election. I'm not sure it's historic. It may be. I mean, it's historic simply in the sense that the expectation was that Hillary Clinton would win the election and Donald Trump won. But we don't really know what happened. We don't know what kind of shift is going on in this country right now. We know that there is a political shift going on to a certain extent, but it's going to be a number of months before we actually know what happened in election 2016. So don't assume because of clickbait articles and instant analysis of quote-unquote what happened in election 2016 that it means this or that. And don't assume that you know because somebody says what the Trump presidency is going to look like. Next, we'll talk about the Electoral College. This is the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show. Yeah. Gotta say, I love me some Little Green Bag. That's a great song. Love using that as a bumper. So yeah, this is the radio show for this week, radio show number 53 for the Bob Davis Podcasts, and there's been a lot going on. So I got back from the big trip, and I did yoga, every other day or once or twice a week while I was gone. And it was really, it's good to take a break from whatever your discipline is. If you're doing a lot of CrossFit, if you're doing going to the gym a lot, occasionally it's good to take a break. I don't like taking breaks because for me, it's a break in discipline. And so then I have to get back into it. And I think I mentioned the last time I talked about Hydras that I went back to yoga and I ran out of Hydras on the trip. So it was a little rough getting back into yoga without the Hydras. But once I got it built up, got my big shipment of Hydras from Arizona, and once I got it built up, I'm back in the game big time. And I've been doing tons of yoga and I feel great. And it doesn't matter what you do for exercise. As you know, I talk about yoga. I practice yoga all the time. And when I originally was doing yoga every day, I thought soreness went with the territory, so I just ignored it. And then I found Hydras. And I've told you about this little odyssey about Hydras. And Hydras has transformed my yoga practice because it gets electrolytes into your muscles very quickly. It uses exclusive nanosome technology to get critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness into your muscles. And it does not use any sugar, which means it's great for weight cuts if you're a wrestler. But it's great for everybody. It's great for whatever it is that you do, whether it's cycle, CrossFit, lifting, or doing some kind of competitive sports. I've got people using Hydras who are hunting with it because it helps you take it to the edge. I call it the grit. There's all kinds of terms for it. There's a CrossFit term for it. There's a wrestling term for it. But you feel as though you can get down to the grit and practice a little deeper, and so you grow more. I can't say enough about Hydras. It's really great. It's really effective. I'm doing yoga. I'm practicing in rooms. It's over 100 degrees. You're sweating. You sweat a lot and you can get dehydrated. And people don't realize you can drink a half a gallon of water before a class and you don't fully hydrate for about 30, 40 minutes. So a lot of times this is what happens if people just have to sit sit down because they are dehydrated. And there's all kinds of knock-on effects from being dehydrated. So, you know, Hydrus fixes that. Join the performance hydration revolution because it goes into your system so quickly that you are hydrated, boom, like that. Join the performance hydration revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. I was just going to say, and I'll just say it very quickly, a lot of times when I'm practicing, I feel like I'm flagging. I'll take a couple of sips, and I am back in the game very quickly. So if you want to know more, HydrusPerformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com. All right, here's segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Hit it! You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts and to sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Welcome back. So if you've been listening, and you've been listening to the podcasts, I would think by now you can tell that I'm pretty frustrated with the whole process. I am actually pretty disgusted with almost every single part of the election process. And in particular, I'm pretty frustrated with the media. I don't think the media is doing a good job. I don't think talk radio is doing a good job. I don't think cable television is doing a good job. I don't think Facebook and Twitter, social media is doing a good job. I don't think that bloggers and online news sites are doing a good job. I don't think people calling for regulation of said media are doing a good job. I don't think there's very much understanding of the polls. And it even gets down to the fact that, for the most part, the media is doing a terrible job informing people about issues and informing people about how the government actually works and informing people about how the political process actually works. And it's really frustrating because what happened in this particular election is that most of the people in the media declared for a candidate before the fact. Almost all of them endorsed somebody. Many of the people that you listen to endorsed people in the primary process so that then they were committed to that person throughout the primary process. And it colored the way that they commented. It colored what they saw as fact and not fact. And it colored their judgment. Then you had people that felt that they could make judgments about polling, as I detailed in the last segment, that you simply can't do. And the overall effect is that we weren't informed about what's actually going on. Certainly covering the primaries, you never got any detailed information from candidates because you couldn't talk to them, and you got nothing from their campaigns, and you ended up traipsing around following them from one silly event to the next, which is just simply set up so that they could take pictures, with television cameras or get audio of a speech as though that was coverage, right? And finally, I just said, I'm out of here, and went down to Florida and just started doing travel podcasts because we weren't getting anywhere after I covered I don't know how many events in the primary. And now the same has happened with everything else. And I get very frustrated because I'm not going to go on and on in detail and provide facts and figures for all this stuff. I will, and I do occasionally, but I'm so frustrated with it, I don't think that that's serving anyone. First they told you who was going to win the presidency, and it didn't happen. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but of course we don't have a popular vote that elects the president of the United States. It would have been great if they'd have told people that from the beginning, but they didn't tell people that from the beginning. They told people that if you voted for a particular candidate, it looked like they were going to win because they kept talking about the national popular preference for president polls, which are not indicative of who is going to win the White House. And in this case, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but we don't elect the president of the United States based on a popular vote. Why? Well, you know, among other interpretations, I believe that the people who founded this country really wanted to make sure that we protected against the mob. This is why we protect political minorities in both houses. This is why we have checks and balances, because we didn't want a mob choosing the chief magistrate of the United States. And it's one of the reasons we have an appointed Supreme Court. It's one of the reasons originally we had an appointed Senate by the states. And finally, the final check on a mob vote for president was the Electoral College. Now, I don't have time to go into the history of the Electoral College. One of the things that I've learned talking about the Electoral College is most people don't understand it. Most of the people who go out there and try to explain the Constitution are biased from a particular point of view. So they're going to tell you their point of view about why, you know, they did this or why they did that and whether it's constitutional and everything else, because we live in a world that is awash with political partisanship, and it is awash with judgments. And the latest canard, to be quite honest, is that the Electoral College is going to meet on or about December 15th of this year to pick a president, which is what they do in every presidential election. They meet in the respective state capitals, 50 different states, the results of 50 different state elections, and one territory, which of course is Washington, D.C., which I think has three electoral votes, if that. And they meet and they vote for the president. And then those votes are tallied and the election is certified. And all things being equal, all things going forward smoothly, the president-elect is chosen as the president. Well, we have a different situation in this country because, of course, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She's the one everyone said was going to win the election, and Donald Trump won the electoral vote. So that's why you have people running around protesting, saying that the election is illegitimate, because how can it be in a nation as powerful as ours that the popular vote could be something that wasn't reflected in the electoral vote? But there it is. In fact, that's precisely the way the system is supposed to work. And now you have all these people saying, the thing about the Electoral College is the way it's supposed to work is it's just designed to prevent someone like Donald Trump from being president. So if you're on the left, you're saying that he's corrupt and that he's a crony guy and he's a this and he's a that, when we don't know what he's going to be like. If you're on the right, you're saying that thank God that criminal Hillary Clinton didn't win. That's our politics today. And no wonder people have turned it off, because they don't want to hear this anymore. So what's going to happen with the Electoral College? Well, you know, every state has a certain number of electors. Generally speaking, my understanding is that they are chosen by party slate. And, you know, some states have proportional electoral colleges, meaning that it's based on the percentage of vote. But Donald Trump has won the majority of the electors, okay? So they're going to meet in their respective capitals on December 15th. They're going to vote, and that's that. So goes the story very quickly that rogue electors are going to pick someone else and throw the election to Congress, where they have already planned on a compromise candidate for president. And I just want to say very quickly, you know, think about how our government works and think about the situation a little bit before you jump to conclusions like this. The Electoral College is not, first of all, there are alternates for all of the electors. So if they have a number of rogue electors in, let's say, Utah or Montana or wherever, which is they voted for Trump, so I can't imagine that they're going to suddenly change the vote of the electors. Well, there's never Trump people in the election. No. They're elected by slate for the most part. So the Republican slate wins. They go in there and you're going to be the one guy from your state that wrote in Ron Paul. I don't think so. There's so much pressure on these people that to basically ratify the vote electorally in their states that I don't think that that's going to happen. And if it does, I guess we'll have something to talk about. But see, the whole point of this whole speech, this whole long thing, is this is just another lurid story to get you to keep watching. We'll just have to cross that bridge when we come to it. If the Electoral College decides to throw a wrench into the works, which I don't think that they will do, it would go to the new Congress to decide, and there's no chance that the new Congress, especially with new members, is going to take a risk like that and throw the election away from the one that the popular vote elected versus the one the Electoral College vote elected. So that is not going to happen. And if you are confused by all this talk of the Electoral College, it's because you don't know enough about the Electoral College. You just have to read about it. But, you know, they don't tell us how the political system in this country works. They just jump on these crazy ideas because it gets people to go to websites. It's clickbait for people to listen and watch and click on and keep watching. And it's designed to manipulate you into thinking something's going to happen when something isn't going to happen. All right. Almost out of time in this segment. I'm going to sum it all up next. Remember, for all the podcasts, visit my website, thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Just ahead of segment four for this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Again, pilots. And you know what I'm doing now that I've actually watched a couple of pilot videos on YouTube? Now it's serving them up to me and I'm watching all these crashes. You know, like, you know, from the cockpit, you see what happens. And more than one of them has to do with losing lift on that final turn or having an issue on takeoff. This is one of the biggest problems in general aviation, I'm told, is pilots lose lift because they dump when they turn, especially on that final approach to land. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. Alpha Systems' motto is pilots fly safe, and they make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator to that end. The bottom line is Alpha Systems' AOA saves lives. If you click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, the Alpha Systems banners, you see the device there. It's nothing more than a visual indicator, the lift underneath your aircraft or angle of attack. And there's lots of content on the page, people talking about how it saved their lives. Pilots fly safe. Check out Alpha Systems. They want to get it onto your plane and into your plane's dashboard as quickly as possible. Alpha Systems. Click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. Once again, I want to thank Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. I can't say enough about Hydrus. I'm so glad I got my package of Hydrus back so I can start using it when I'm practicing yoga. It's made a difference already this week. So what does it do? It gets critical electrolytes into your system really quickly without using sugar, all right? Check it out online at hydrusperformance.com and get some today. It's H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. And of course, I got to grab the number. Hang on. Remember, if you're shopping for price, sometimes when it comes to plumbing, quality is more important. And you want to check Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. Certainly, they're competitive on price, but when it comes to reliable service, when it comes to making sure that all of those systems are operating in your home, especially in the winter when it comes to the water heater and the heating, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. They're great for emergency service as well. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6400. 88 online, ryanplumbing.com. All right, here's segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Yeah, it's nice to sit by the fire because at least that part of things is relaxing. So, where was I? Yeah, I get very upset with things like this Electoral College story, and I get very upset with all of this talk about what kind of president Trump is going to be and who elected Trump and what it is and what he is and what he isn't and so forth and so on. You know, I think it was in the last radio show, but I know it was in one of the podcasts, and I said it before some of the key appointments were made. But I mean, look at who's in charge of the White House. Priebus is in charge of the White House. Ryan is in charge of the House. McConnell is in charge of the Senate. There are, I don't know how many people involved in the federal government, but as you work your way up the food chain, there's not that many to choose from. And so moderate Republicans, establishment Republicans, are going to prominently figure in the Trump administration. As far as what he's going to do, I couldn't tell you. I'm not even going to speculate about what is going to happen or what he's going to do. Everyone is looking at Mike Pence's record, or they're looking at Flynn's record, or they're looking at Ben Carson, or who's may or may not be part of the administration, or they're looking at, now they're talking about Mitt Romney for Secretary of State, and so forth and so on. First of all, I think Trump right now is just having fun with the media. I think he's just enjoying throwing things out and having them feed on it like a bunch of piranhas. And they act like children, and they deserve to be treated like children because of the way that they treated him. And I'm not even for Trump. I didn't endorse either candidate. I don't think either candidate is going to make a good president. We'll see. I'm willing to say, okay, let's see what he does. But I'm not going to tell you what kind of presidency he's going to have. You can't look at the record of, you know, Rudy Giuliani or whoever, name someone, and say this is the kind of person he's going to be. Suffice it to say this: if you're on the left, you're going to have to adjust to some changes in the approach to government and the way that this new administration will function. You're not going to agree with a lot of what is done, but these people are coming at this from a different perspective than the previous administration. Just as the people who, were all Bushies and excited about Bush and quote-unquote conservatives, when Obama was elected, they were in shock and they didn't really understand what happened. In fact, I remember being on the radio the day after election 2008, and just I felt like I was at a funeral. It was just trying to console these conservatives that were just bereft over the fact that George W. Bush, who honestly, in retrospect, did more to destroy the Republican Party than anyone, were just in shock. And then it was even worse in 2012 because they thought that Barack Obama was going to declare martial law, take over, and that stuff is still out there, that before the new president is inaugurated, this is going to happen. And that's why this whole Electoral College thing is out there, that somehow, you know, something's going to happen to prevent this man from taking office because he can't take office because he's Hitler or he's a fascist or he doesn't have any experience or he's, quote unquote, not qualified to be president. Yeah, they said that about Barack Obama, too. He wasn't qualified to be president. But in fact, he was president and he's been president for 8 years and the world hasn't blown up. Now, we may disagree with his policies. We may disagree with his economic policies. We may disagree with his foreign policies. Some don't. I do. We may not like some of the things that he's done, but we're all still here because the United States is bigger than the president. The United States is bigger than the U.S. Congress. The people of the United States are bigger than all of that. We are much bigger than the federal government. But if you watch television and you listen to the radio and you listen to these people go on and on and on, you're going to think that it's the king, that we've elected a king who is going to deign to tell us how to live and what to do and everything else. He's going to have a different view of things, and some people are going to have to accept that. As I said in the beginning of the show, we're living through a process of change. I've heard Democrats say, and Republicans have said the same thing, that their experience as members, and I'm talking about congressmen, is that the political spectrum is obliterated. That, one of the things that's interesting about this election is you have Donald Trump, who took some of the issues from Democrats, which are traditionally Democrat issues like trade protectionism, and I'm a free trader, so I don't agree with his views about trade protection. But in any case, they took that position and used it. And so, for the left, part of the political spectrum, what they've been operating under for many years, is, they say, obliterated. So they're not quite sure where to find their footing. I think the same thing's true on the right. So we're living through all these kinds of roiling changes. And at the same time, we have a media that may as well be a mid-19th century broadsheet for all intents and purposes, because instead of hiring staffs of reporters and decent editors to ride herd on the reporters and make sure both sides of a story are reported and make sure that issues are reported and illuminated for people, we have a media that would rather cut their budgets, get a bunch of people and put them in a round table and have them all talking at once and call that campaign coverage. It's not. And if you want to actually illuminate issues, you've got to have good investigative reporters, you've got to have good editors, you've got to have publishers to back those guys when they cause all sorts of controversy. We don't have that. We have, as I've said many times, we have writers rewriting somebody else's. So this guy at this website is rewriting the story from another website and throwing it up on their website, and there's no reporting involved. So there's that. So for me to sit here and tell you what kind of presidency Donald Trump's going to have is presumptuous. I could sit here and say, the Electoral College could put someone else in if they wanted to. And I just want to return to that for a second, because for all of you who have worked in politics and been a delegate or been, a committee chair or have helped work for a candidate, you know that these offices are bigger than any one person. So if somebody runs for Congress, they've managed to collect a group of people working for them, some of whom came from different parts of different campaigns. Maybe they opposed the guy at the beginning. Maybe they joined up later on in the thing. But in every political party, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, nobody agrees. They kind of come to a consensus on supporting a particular candidate. And once that consensus is driven, once that consensus has been formed or forged, and forged is really the word, you're not going to have people functioning as rogues. People who become electors generally are experienced party people. They're not going against the grain just for the sake of going against the grain. This penchant for predicting coup d'etats and calling things what they aren't. For example, calling Trump an authoritarian or calling Trump a fascist because, if you actually study Germany or Italy, there's really no comparison to this election, based on something that happened in Italy in the 1920s or the 1930s. Same with Germany. It's a completely different political system, a different political spectrum. But you have to study history to know these things and know that this is just an absurdity. But this doesn't stop people from saying this stuff, and then it gets reported and reacted on, and nobody ever calls them on it. Nobody ever says, well, here's what really happened, because everything's a matter of opinion. So you have to go back to reading source material, reading history, and so forth and so on. I'm not going to tell you what kind of president Trump's going to be. I didn't support him. I didn't support Hillary Clinton. I think telling people what's going to happen before it happens is 99% of the problem in this country. Why don't we just let stuff happen and then report on it when it happens and let people draw their own conclusions? I think we'd all be happier if that were to happen. Instead, we've got to tell everybody what's going to happen first, and then we'll report on whether we were right or not. That's not news. That's not telling you what's really going on. That's not giving you any information. So the conclusion is, hello, we just had a presidential election. Things are going to change. There's going to be a new president. There's going to be a new regime at the executive levels. The federal government is powerful. The executive branch is fairly powerful. Congress is powerful. For the first time in 80 years, the Republican Party is quite powerful compared to what it was. They have control of all three houses of government, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I wouldn't say they have control of the Supreme Court, but that's a whole other show. And they're going to make some changes. And some people are going to find those changes difficult to accept. Others will be okay with it. And others still are really more concerned about who the Vikings are going to play this weekend and how that's going to play out. And maybe they're the ones that really have it together, because they've said, I don't need to hear about that. I'd rather talk about who's, going to be the strong safety for, some college football team this weekend. All right. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Oh, to live on,
Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon.
Good. Well, once again, thanks for listening to the podcasts. Thanks for listening to the radio show, which is at GCNlive.com. Also, right on the page, the BobDavisPodcasts.com, where you can find the streaming audio. It's just like the radio. You just click on the page. If you're on a desktop, it usually just fires up. Some smartphones, it fires right up. But we designed it, particularly with iPhones, that you would have to initiate the streaming, but people really like it, and I really appreciate listening on the streaming myself, and I hope that you do too, and I appreciate you listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, of course, GCNLive.com. The radio show is on The Patriot on Sunday nights at 11 p.m., and thank you for subscribing off the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. You can also subscribe at iTunes. I always say listening, but you can also subscribe at iTunes. And I love your comments at iTunes, and thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on social media, Facebook, Twitter, my favorite, Instagram, and of course, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which was just quietly waiting for the next mission at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you want to donate, you just click on the big yellow donate button, and there's a bunch of other stuff, but I don't want to, we're done, so I'm going to have my weekend, so you enjoy yours. Thanks for listening to Podcast 500. What is this? 70? Is this? Wait a minute. I got to check. I don't even know. Yeah, this is podcast 574. Wow, we're really getting close to 600. So thanks for listening.